Hello, Illinois Radio Reader listeners. This is Elizabeth McMahon with your News Gazette for Friday, April 26th, 2024. I'm going to start with our front page today. We have a very big front page above the fold story with the big headline, Mile Markers. And the smaller headline underneath reads, Melodies Will Greet Runners at Around Halfway Point. And this is looks like it's the Christie Clinic Illinois Race Weekend, the story about that. So this is by Joey Wright of the News Gazette. When Christie Clinic Illinois marathon runners pass underneath the viaduct at Logan and Water Street on Saturday, they'll do so with the dulcet tones of the Mahomet Music Club. The group will have about 17 musicians on hand to send runners through the 14th mile, with some 15 guitarists accompanied by drums, a keyboard, and a violin. It's one of the few events that we can bring our entire group out to because we've got enough room to spread out in the locations they've got, Heath Hafner said. The group always looks forward to doing this one each year. Mahomet Music Club has played during the marathon before. The group was on hand for races before the COVID-19 pandemic and has continued to perform in recent years without the full race. As far as some types of music, we play anything from classic rock to country western, Hafner said. Some modern stuff, you know. The group is a little on the older side. We play a little older stuff and sneak in a few new ones every once in a while. That's far from the only position on the course that will have the backing of a full musical arrangement. Nearly 30 entertainers will be present along the courses between the 5K today and the 10K half marathon and marathon Saturday. Many will offer music, like the PBS band performing at Prospect and Graham in Savoy. Some will simply provide encouragement for the runners as they pass by along the way. As many as 5 people, as many as 21 people in some of the cheer sections, entertainment coordinator Pat Mills said. They'll all be wearing volunteer team shirts to kind of identify themselves and making a ruckus, you know, signs and cheering and all that. Runners are divided on whether to listen to music while racing or not. Many opt not to wear headphones, something that Illinois Marathon organizers discourage to encourage runners to ensure runners can hear their surroundings and course officials. But as Mills sees it, even those who prefer to lock in and focus on the race can appreciate the support of a local band. He's run 3 marathons in Champaign County and organized the race's entertainment since 2009. You can certainly enjoy a marathon without music, but it certainly adds a nice, lively touch to it and certainly energize you, Mills said. Mills, who has a preference for spinning Grateful Dead tunes at his DJ post on the 25th mile, doesn't seek out any genres in particular when organizing the acts. I kind of go after everything we can, Mills said. Anything that looks like it'd be eye candy or just good music and fun music. The PBS band can play a wide array of covers spanning the likes of Lady A, Mark Cohen, and Crosby, Stills, and Nash. They'll do so just in front of the Savoy Rec Center as runners make the turn to head back to Memorial Stadium. My goal is at the 22nd mile mark or whatever it is, it's to help people finish faster than they would have, Jack Brighton said. Street closures and heavy race traffic will make Saturday an early morning for each of the acts along the course. Mahomet's musicians will be up bright and early to arrive at their post at 7 a.m., even though they aren't likely to see runners for another 2 hours or so. The early wake-up call is well worth it for the musicians and runners alike, especially if it isn't a chilly morning. What's good weather for the runners is not always the best weather for us, Hafner said, but at least it hasn't rained during any of them. We just enjoy this event a lot. That story also has a large photo in the front of your musicians, and it's we have musicians Heath Hafner, Bob Conrad, Larry Gordon, Miles Reck, Marilyn Bruce, Lauren Barnes, and Mary Bales, and they're on the sidewalk along Logan Avenue in Champaign under the railroad tracks, where they're performing Saturday during the Christie Clinic Illinois Marathon. In a related story here on the front page, we have one just below the fold underneath the marathon story. also about the marathon, and this is by Dave Hinton of the News Gazette. Headline reads, Half Marathon, A Time for Bonding and Healing. And I'll begin here. The mother-daughter twosome of Gail and Kristen Slamar had a longtime goal of running in the Christie Clinic Illinois Half Marathon. Health issues, however, got in the way until this year. Gail, who has cancer, also suffered a stroke last year. She has improved sufficiently, so much so that Kristen is able to push her in an adaptive wheelchair during races. That will be the setup at Saturday's half marathon. Mom had a stroke last March, Kristen said. I wanted to keep running, but she needed 24-hour care. It was only after the stroke the doctors discovered Gail had a tumor in her colon. Immunotherapy to fight the cancer resulted in damage to her pancreas, which led to Gail becoming a type 1 diabetic. Kristen, a Glenview resident, is a sixth grade math teacher at North Shore Country Day School in Winnetka. To help her mom, who is 69, be part of the running experience, Kristen started out by pushing her in a wheelchair before settling on the adaptive wheelchair. Gail loves being outdoors. I'm doing great, she said. It's fun. Everything so far so good. They go out once a week together for a long run, and Kristen usually does some shorter runs by herself. So far, their longest run has been a 15K. Saturday's half marathon will be a 13.1 mile event. It helps my frame of mind being out in the fresh air, Gail said, and the doctor thinks it's helping. The adaptive wheelchair is similar to a jogging stroller, but is preferable because it works on a rougher terrain than a regular wheelchair. We strap her in, Kristen said. There's extra padding, and she wears a helmet, too. Gail also bundles up against the elements. Some of their runs have been in inclement weather, and they're hoping for pleasant conditions Saturday. They have been experimenting with different ways to keep Gail warm, including hand warmers in her gloves, winter boots, a winter coat, blankets, and a lap warmer. Initially, we had to find trails that were a little bit smoother, Kristen said. Now we run in the neighborhood, depending on the distance. As she's recovered a little bit, we use sidewalks more. Among the running locales is a Park District property in Glenview near them with a lot of wildflowers. Their competitive races generally take place on the weekend. When her Monday chemo treatments come around, she wears her medals to show the doctors and nurses. Gail said the support from other people, including fellow race participants, has been quite helpful. A lot of people will come up to her and say she's doing great, Kristen said. We've also found some races geared for those suffering from maladies, some for those fighting cancer. That's probably where she started to love racing, Kristen said. Mom and daughter are looking forward to crossing the finish line at Memorial Stadium on the University of Illinois campus, a place where they've been plenty of times to watch Illini football games with Gail's husband and Kristen's father, Charlie, a University of Illinois alum. Overall, I'm so lucky, she said. I've received a lot of support from my family, church family, and doing these runs. I'm a lucky person. Lots of good prayers. There's also a photo there of Kristen Slamar and her mother Gail, and they're she's in the running device, and they're participating in the Ventures Endurance Hot Chocolate Run. Next on the front page here, on the upper right-hand side of the front page, we have the headline that reads, Champagne Keeping Tournament through 2029. This is the IHSA Boys Basketball Tournament. So I'll start. This is by Matt Daniels. The Illinois High School Association Boys Basketball State Tournament has had a longer connection with Champaign than any other city in the state. So when IHSA decided to bring the state tournament back to Champaign in 2022, after a 26-year absence, it seemed like it would stay here for a while. And it will now, after the IHSA Board of Directors approved a 5-year extension to keep the original March Madness at State Farm Center for the rest of the decade. With the initial 3-year contract up, the extension will keep the boys' basketball state tournament in Champaign in 2025, 26, 27, 28, and 29. The Champaign-Urbana for the first, the IHSA is thrilled for America's original March Madness to remain in Champaign-Urbana for the foreseeable future, IHSA Executive Director Craig Anderson said in a statement. We appreciate the support that Champaign-Urbana and its surrounding communities, the University, State Farm Center, Experience Champaign-Urbana, and all the tournament volunteers annually provide for the state tournament. Champaign-Urbana has a long legacy of producing top-tier events that lead to lifelong memories for IHSA players, coaches, schools, and their fans. Champaign served as the host city for the boys' basketball state tournament from 1919 through 1995, when Kenny Jim, Huff Jim, and the Assembly Hall serving as the venues before Peoria became the new site for the state tournament starting in 1996. The event stayed in Peoria for the better part of 2 decades, with the last state tournament at Carver Arena in downtown Peoria taking place in 2019. The 2020 state tournament was supposed to happen in Peoria, but the COVID-19 pandemic canceled that, and then, in June 2020, the IHSA announced the state tournament would return to Champaign in 2021. Again, the pandemic messed up those plans, with the state tournament not returning until 2022. The 3-day 4-class event brings 16 teams to State Farm Center, a venue that first opened in 1963 before undergoing a dramatic renovation in 2015. We are thrilled with this news, as the first 3 years have shown tremendous economic growth and excitement in the community and across the state, said Jane Deluce, president and CEO of Experience Champaign-Urbana. With local support and partnership with the University of Illinois Athletics, we will continue to provide these student athletes, their families, and fans with memories that will last a lifetime. The IHSA also announced 2 other additional items on Thursday in conjunction to high school basketball. The 3-day format that was first tried in 2022, with the tournament returning to Champaign, will stay intact, with the daily game and time schedule under review by the IHSA Basketball Advisory Committee before it will be finalized at the IHSA Board of Directors meeting in June. The format features 6 games each on Thursday and Friday, spread between state semifinal games in the morning and afternoons, and third-place games in the evening, before all 4 state championship games take place on Saturday. The IHSA also said it will negotiate to keep the girls' basketball state tournament at CEFCU Arena in Normal through 2029. The venue on the Illinois State University campus has hosted the girls' basketball state tournament since 1992, after it moved away from Champaign. There is mutual interest by the IHSA, Illinois State University, and the Bloomington Normal Area Convention and Visitors Bureau to make that happen, Anderson said, and I anticipate we will have a formal announcement in the very near future. And here there's a photo with this story. It's fans watch East St. Louis and Metamora during the 2023 Class 3A IHSA Boys Basketball State Tournament at State Farm Center in Champaign. And that photo is by Robin Schultz. Our last story on the front page of the News Gazette today for April 26th, right-hand side of the paper underneath the fold. The headline reads, Former Civic Center May Have Future as a bus station. This is the Urbana Civic Center, and the story is by Yana Wiersema of the News Gazette. The Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District is looking into the possibility of building a bus transfer station at the site of the former Urbana Civic Center. MTD External Affairs Director Ashley McLaughlin told the board at this week's meeting that the district is working with HDR Incorporated to conduct a National Environment Policy Act assessment of the property. We have talked with the city about the potential to develop this site, but we're not allowed to talk about or initiate the actual acquiring of the property until the Federal Transportation Administration has determined what the environmental impact would be of developing the site, she said. According to McLaughlin, HDR currently estimates the work will cost $133,404 and be completed in October, though the scope of the assessment could increase if need be. The Urbana Civic Center, which is located at 108 East Water Street, opened in 1974 and was used for a variety of activities, such as weddings, public exhibitions, retirement parties, and meetings. The city closed the center in 2018. Mayor Diane Marlin said at the time that the structure had deteriorated to the point where it would cost $750,000 to $1 million to repair. Additionally, the center's expenses exceeded its revenue by $40,000 to $50,000 on an annual basis, she said. McLaughlin said the MTD has discussed its plans for the site with both the county and city. What we're generally proposing at this stage without input from an architect yet is just to construct a new, centrally located transit transfer facility up to three levels high that will provide opportunities for long-term leases and or public sector condominiumization by local government stakeholders, she said. So essentially, a transfer center on the first floor and then additional space up top for additional public entities. The MTD also plans to improve pedestrian and bicycle facilities to enhance connections between the transit facility, Lincoln Square, and the Kickapoo Rail Trail, she said. The Civic Center site is still owned by the city of Urbana. Marlin said that while the project is still in its infancy, she supports the idea. Urbana has long needed a proper downtown transit transfer facility, she said. Currently, transit users must wait outside in the cold and heat and use portable toilets in the parking garage. We have an opportunity to build a mixed-use facility to serve transit users and others, as well as potentially provide additional commercial, retail, and public event or meeting space on the former Civic Center site. And that is the conclusion of the story. In local news, also in more local news on page A5 of the News Gazette, we have a big feature in the middle of the page with the headline, Their Final Notes, and the U of I group No Comment headed to main event for first time in 11 years, and this is the International Championship of Collegiate Acapella Groups. And this story is by Luke Taylor. In the midst of studying for the end of the semester, No Comment is preparing for a very different kind of finals, an international a cappella championship. The last time No Comment made it to the International Championship of Collegiate a cappella finals was in 2013, just a year after the cast of Pitch Perfect competed in a fictional version of the same event. People say that in this whole competition, we're in one of the hardest regions. The Great Lakes is a very tough region, No Comment President Hillary Collins said. We're just happy to make it past the region. The group left campus Wednesday to take the stage in New York on Saturday, exactly a week after celebrating No Comment's 20th anniversary. Collins and music director Mitchell Lazaro said the group is so excited to make it to finals that they aren't all that concerned with actually winning. These last few competitions, it's been really stressful. You just don't have the best time if you're worried about how your groups and the other groups are doing, Lazaro said. You get to this point, and win or lose, everyone's going to be in the same place. Everyone's going home. We're just there to have fun. That isn't to say their hard work hasn't been worth it thus far. No Comment took second place at quarterfinals, which made them eligible for semifinals, where they also took second. Since there are nine regions going into finals, second and third place semifinal finishes make groups eligible to submit videos for a wild card placement to round out the field. Lazaro was also recognized for outstanding arrangement at quarterfinals and outstanding vocal percussion at semifinals, while freshman member Kylie Ferris was outstanding vocalist at both. Consistency, baby. Hopefully we're really consistent, Collins said, looking forward to Saturday. Both Collins and Lazaro are set to graduate soon, so they're excited to go to finals at their last possible opportunity. Of course, it hasn't been easy balancing everything as they try to finish out their college careers. Between the 20th anniversary show and this actual school, my last 2 days have been 18 or 20-hour days, Lazaro said. It's been hard, but, you know, it's just worth it. I've just been saying, this week's been stressful, but next week it'll get better. And then I've been saying that every single week, Collins said. But like Michael said, it's worth it. Just cool opportunities. So I'm trying to soak it in and also not fail. It sounds like they'll be leaving the group in good hands. No Comet has had quite a few freshmen and other new members join this year, but they stepped up to the task. Lazaro said he always told the newbies that he could adjust deadlines if they needed more time to memorize music or choreography, but he never had to. They're just so passionate. It doesn't feel like anyone's checked out. It doesn't feel like anyone's overwhelmed, he said. I think they've gotten the vibe that this is a serious thing, and we commit to it, but we also have fun. And the fact that two of them are soloists on a Nationals quality set is just outrageous. That set includes Meeting the Master by Greta Van Fleet, Snow Angel by Renee Rapp, First Light by Hozier, and Knights of Sidonia by Muse, which one of the members found on the Guitar Hero 3 video game. And that's the end of the story. We have two photos of the group, and one of them is No Comment, shown at the 2024 International Championship of Collegiate a cappella Great Lakes Region semifinal, and they're going to performing. Well, they're not at the competition. They're rehearsing, and they're set for tomorrow in New York. And then there's another photo of the group together, just as a portrait. Next in local news here, we have this is our county section. We have some crime stories here with the headline. The first one starts, Champagne 19-year-old gets 4 years in online sale-turned-robbery. This is by Samuel Lisek of the News Gazette. A Champagne 19-year-old was sentenced this week to 4 years in prison for his role in an online sale-turned-armed robbery earlier this year. Champaign County Judge Matt Lee handed down the sentence to Connor K. Bauman after he pleaded guilty to one count of attempted armed robbery with a firearm. In exchange for the negotiated plea, the state dropped one count of resisting arrest and one count of armed robbery with a firearm, a Class X felony that carried a potential sentence of 6 to 30 years in prison upon conviction. Laying out the facts of the case at Brauman's detention hearing, Assistant State's Attorney Dan Taylor said, a man showed up at an apartment complex in Champaign about 8:30 p.m. January 11th with $300 in cash to pay for an Xbox he had arranged to buy on Facebook Marketplace. The victim told police that when he entered the building, he was confronted by two men wearing ski masks who each pointed a handgun at him and stole his phone, wallet, and iPod. The offenders fled, but the man followed them to a nearby parking lot and saw them get into a silver Saturn sedan. He continued to follow the car until he heard two gunshots, Taylor said. The Facebook account used for the transaction was deleted, but a Champaign detective noticed a new account posted an ad offering an Xbox for $300 the next day. Police responded to that ad and went to buy the console on January 12th, Taylor said. On arrival, police located and arrested Bauman, who had a firearm in his waistband. Officers also located and arrested Darian W. Sargent, 18, of Urbana, as well as a silver Saturn sedan. Sargent was sentenced to 4 years of probation last week after he admitted to driving Bauman to and from the scene of the robbery. He pleaded guilty to one count of aggravated robbery, a Class 1 felony. Bauman also faced 4 to 15 years in prison for attempted armed robbery. He had no prior convictions and was given credit for 96 days already served in jail. Moving on in other crime coverage here in the R County section, we have a story with the headline, Urbana Man Acquitted of Possession of Firearm, and this is also by Samuel Lisek of the News Gazette. An Urbana man has been acquitted of charges that alleged he had two firearms in 2022 that he wasn't allowed to have due to prior convictions. A jury deliberated for about 4 hours April 17th before acquitting Dontarian M. Jordan, 30, of two counts of possession of a firearm by a felon. The two-day trial took place before Champaign County Judge Randy Rosenbaum. Assistant State's Attorney Joel Fletcher called two Illinois state troopers to the stand, including Kyle Payton, who testified he was on a routine patrol around 12:30 a.m. October 29, 2022, when he saw a vehicle speeding on Interstate 74 near Neal Street and initiated a traffic stop. Peyton testified that the vehicle had three men inside, with Jordan in the back seat behind the driver. He said the men acted nervous while he conducted the stop, and Jordan didn't share his name at first, so Peyton called for backup. Trooper Stephen Feurer then arrived on scene with a trained canine who indicated a hit. So the officers had the three men get out of the car while they searched the vehicle. Feurer found a gun under the driver's seat. The officers handcuffed the men, and Peyton then found a second gun pushed under the same seat. A technician from the state crime lab testified there was limited support that Jordan's DNA was on one of the guns, but it was extremely likely that DNA found on the second gun, a Ruger, came from Jordan. Both guns had DNA from multiple people. Fletcher argued that Jordan had to have touched the guns, as he was the only person in the vehicle who had access to them. A metal bar prevented the driver from being able to reach them under his seat. Jordan's attorney, Chris Tickener, argued it is impossible to know when his client's DNA got on the guns. He said it was also possible a trooper had inadvertently transferred Jordan's DNA to one of the guns after handcuffing Jordan and then handling the gun. Jordan faced 2 to 5 years in prison if convicted of possession of a firearm by a felon, a Class 3 felony. And we have one other crime story here in the Our County section with the headline, Calumet City Man Charged with Attempted Murder. This is from a February Champaign shooting. This is also by Samuel Lissick. A Calumet City man has been ordered to remain in jail ahead of his trial on charges of attempted murder for allegedly shooting his cousin multiple times in February in Champaign. Champaign County Judge Brett Olmsted ruled Thursday that Alan Williams, 32, must remain in jail after he was arraigned on charges of attempted first-degree murder. The charges stem from a February 19th incident where Champaign police responded to a report of shots fired in the 700 block of West Vine Street, State's Attorney Julia Reitz said. On scene, officers located bullet casings and learned that a man had been taken to Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana with multiple gunshot wounds to his face, hands, and torso. Police said that victim told him he was getting into his car when Williams, who is his cousin, approached him and shot him multiple times. He told police that he and his cousin have had ongoing disagreements for years. Williams is currently on federal parole for a 2019 conviction on possession of a firearm ammunition. Olmsted granted the state's request to have Williams detained without objection from the public defender's office in light of a federal hold placed on him. We have a little more crime coverage here, and then we will do obituaries in the second half of the reading of the News Gazette. But we have an April 18th incident, crime incident, with the headline, Urbana Man Charged with Breaking into Home, Stealing TV, and Other Items. This is by Sam Lissick. An Urbana man was arraigned on charges that accuse him of breaking into a home last week and stealing a television, generator, and 20 pairs of shoes. Champaign County Judge Brett Olmsted ruled that Eric Knight, 32, may await his pending trial outside of jail after he was charged last week with one count of residential burglary. Assistant State's Attorney Dan Reynolds said Urbana police were dispatched to a residence in the 1200 block of East Michigan Avenue around 1:30 p.m. April 18th for a report of a residential burglary. A resident told police that someone had entered their home by breaking down the back door. Officers observed that the back door was pushed in on broken hinges and the padlock was also broken off from the interior. A neighbor also told police that they had heard banging noises from the residence early that morning but hadn't looked to see what it was. A Roku television, Ryobi generator, 20 pairs of sneakers, and miscellaneous jewelry and cologne bottles were all missing from inside the home. The resident estimated that the property was worth a combined $5,200. An Urbana officer on scene had allegedly encountered Knight during a prior case that involved a hit-and-run investigation. The officer observed property in the backseat of Knight's car that included a large flat-screen television, a generator, and several pairs of shoes, Reynolds said. I'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette for April 26th shortly. Please stay tuned. Thanks.